Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Redemption Church Podcast here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm Pastor Khalid, and as always, thank you for tuning in. Today, we start a new series called Keep It Moving. Join us in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, as we take a listen to what Paul has to say to us regarding the importance of pressing forward. The good, the bad, regardless of what's happened in the past, he says, continue to press on. God bless you, and I know this will bless you. All right, so today we start a new series, and I'm gassed about this series because I wanted God to give me a word or a series of words that not just relevant for the time, but relevant for each of your reality. And many of us, we have during the pandemic, we had critical revelations. We had critical discoveries about ourselves. We had critical discoveries about our spirituality, critical discoveries about things that we had to overcome as children that affected us now, critical discoveries about relationships and people and places and things that we're affiliated with, ideas. And God said, you got to let that go. And we said, OK, God, as soon as we open back up, I vow, I commit to honor the revelation you gave me. And now we're at that place, we're at that point where we got to fulfill and hold our word to be true. And so over the next several weeks, I don't know how long this is going to be, Lawyer Chandler, Javon. I don't know how long it's going to be, but I think however long it needs to be, it's going to change and impact all of us. Our foundational scripture can be found in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. And you don't have to read it. I'm just excited to read it for you. So just look on the screen and follow along with me. Paul says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. 14 says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. Forgetting the past. Paul says, forgetting the past and looking forward, I press on. Forgetting the past, I press on. Forgetting the past, I press on. The victories, forget that. I press on. The successes, forget that. I press on. The failures, forget that. I press on. The mistakes, forget that. I press on. The blunders, forget that. I press on. Today, what I want to give us, our series title over the next several weeks, and I hope this is a proclamation you can appreciate, keep it moving. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. Whatever it is, good, bad, ugly, or otherwise, keep it moving. In order for us to appreciate the magnitude of Paul's declaration, his proclamation, there is a word I want to look more closely at, and that word is the word forget. The word forget, as we know it, simply suggests the inability to recall or remember specific information. I know your face, but I can't remember your name. I forgot your name. I forgot the phone number. I forgot this. I forgot. So the inability, you don't have the capacity to tap into your memory bank to share specific information. That's not what Paul is talking about. He's not saying remove it from your memory bank. In fact, it's quite the opposite. When we look at the Greek word here, specifically in the New Testament, we see that the word forget literally means to neglect or no longer care for. So it's not about acting like it doesn't exist. He says it doesn't deserve your attention. So the successes, guess what? I appreciate them, but I'm not giving it any attention. The failures, I'm going to neglect those. The victories, I'm going to neglect those. The promotion, guess what? I appreciate it, but I can't dwell on that. I can't give my attention to it. Paul says, I forget those things that are behind me, the good, the bad, the ugly. It doesn't deserve my attention. I can't cater to it. I can't coddle it. I press on. Yes, Lord. Yes. And one of the things we take out of context about this particular text, Reggie, is this. We take this scripture and we say the bad, we forget about. Paul says, no. It's not just the bad that we forget about. It's the good, because it's not the bad that makes us get beside ourselves. It's the successes. See, the failures keep us humble. The successes make us haughty. See, the disappointments keep us at God's feet, and the successes make us get up and we think we did something to help ourselves. So Paul says, don't just forget about the bad, forget about the good too, and press on. You can't continue to coddle and baby the successes. I often say this, Ashley, some of us, we are one compliment away from losing our minds. We are one compliment away from destruction. Because we can't do what Paul says. We fixate ourselves on the victories and we put a little more pep in our step. Yo, if you knew me when. I'm going to tell you what I did. Let me tell you what I accomplished. Paul says, forget all of that. Neglect that. Don't care for that no more. Continue pressing on. And here's the thing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The reason we haven't been promoted yet, because God knows that if we do get ahead of ourselves, ahead of our time, we'll start neglecting. We don't neglect the things that we need to neglect, and we'll forget about him, and it'll be all about us. So Paul says, keep pressing on. I'm going to prove it here with scripture, because he says he's not just talking about the bad things. He's talking about the good things. We see here that he's boasting spiritually for a purpose. What precedes this declaration that he gave us, we see in Philippians 3-9, and I'm going to read it to you. He said, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Here he highlights a way of thinking that he thought was right, but in actuality it was wrong. But he says, regardless of all that, I still press on.
Yes, yes.
He continues on here and he says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ, for God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. He says, I was once this way. I was wrong, but I press on. I figured it out in my mind, but guess what? He says later on, I still press on. And let me tell you what he's obtaining here, what he's striving to obtain. When we hear the heavenly prize, it's not merely heaven. He's talking about full fulfillment in his purpose to be like Jesus Christ so he can meet the Lord in heaven, not just make it to heaven.
Amen.
See, we just say the heavenly prize, I'm going to get my mansion and walk the streets of gold and all that stuff. No. To me, you're infatuated with heaven, not the person who allowed you to get into heaven. So he says, through Christ Jesus, I'm fulfilling my purpose. Through Christ Jesus, I have a greater sense of faith. And through Christ Jesus, while I'm grateful for the past, I press on.
Yes, yes.
Today, I'm going to give you three ideas while I'm telling you. I'm going to convince you, not just today, but over the next several weeks, I'm going to convince you that the past is not worth your time anymore. Right. Here's the thing. The past has moved on from you. It's time for you to move on from the past. I'll say it again. The past has moved on from you. And guess what? You are here now in the present as you prepare for the promise, which is tomorrow. So why are you entertaining things that don't care about you? So my job is to convince you with three ideas in this scripture that it's not worth pursuing the past. Verse 12 says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Here's the first point for those of you who are taking notes. The past prepares us, but it doesn't mean that we have been perfected. The past prepares us for the promise, but it doesn't mean that once we've reached a certain place of promotion, a certain place of progress, that we have been perfected. And this is where many of us go wrong. We grow to a point where we don't even recognize ourselves and we feel the job is done. So for some of us, the greatest battle we will fight is not failure, it is victory. It is understanding that despite my successes and my victories, I still have to never come to this place of complacency. Because complacency says, I'm good. Complacency says, I've arrived. Understanding, though, that the past was preparation and today prepares you for tomorrow, but the past doesn't necessarily mean you have been perfected. And understand, Tori, perfection does not mean flawless or without blunder. Perfection in this particular text means maturation or maturity.
Yes.
It means you are becoming whole. So Paul says, after all that I've accomplished, the reason I press on is because I have not reached that level of maturation that reflects my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So until I look like him in glory, I'm gonna keep working. I'm gonna keep grinding. I'm gonna keep reading. I'm gonna keep sharing the gospel because there's always room to grow.
Amen. Amen.
And where we go wrong, Oki, is when people praise us and glorify us for our progress, we have a seat. Well, if they praising me, if they see it, and I know that I can overcome certain temptation, you forget that we forget. I'm not going to say you, we going to make this collective. We forget that ultimately we're not done until we cross over and meet our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
So until I die and until I leave this earth, I have to conclude that there's always something to improve in my life.
Amen.
Amen.
There's always something in my life that God wants to show me that I have to work towards. God, I thank you I don't cuss him out anymore, but I still press on. God, I thank you that I don't have the anger issues that I used to, but I still press on. God, I thank you that I'm not where I used to be with pride and envy and all these other things, but I still press on because I recognize there's still work to do. Paul says, I was a Hebrew of a Hebrew, tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised at the age of 8. I did all the things that made me legit. As far as righteousness, I obeyed the law more than anybody. I was a Pharisee, a teacher's teacher. I was all these things, but guess what? None of that meant anything. I finally found Jesus Christ for myself. And even with that revelation, I still understand there's work to do. I press on. Don't let your development stifle you.
Okay.
See, when we're desperate, it's easy to press on because we understand life can't always be like this. But when we arrive and we get that house on the hill and we finally get that job, we finally get that man, that woman, that's when the real battle rages on. Because success, Paul reveals, can be our greatest adversary. Our greatest at lawyer. If you go, if y'all go viral, don't forget about Pastor Khalid, please. I don't care if you get 100,000. Thank you, Chandler. You say, yeah, you reassured me. I don't know. You got to talk to me. You got to let me know. You ain't going to forget about me. Go to Chicago and play drums or something. Don't do that to me, man. Our past prepares us, but it doesn't necessarily mean we've arrived today. We won't arrive until we meet Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Here's our second one. Oh, this is good. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. This is a very fundamental truth, but it's a fundamental truth worth exploring. Here's the thing. The past pulls us from purpose. The past pulls us. Look at the wonderful contrast Paul sets up in verse 13. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. He said, I recognize my past. Verse 13 says, I recognize my past, but he says, I press on to what lies ahead.
Yes.
He understands something that I think many of us, we overlook. Whatever our attention is on, that's what pulls us. See, sometimes me and my wife, we have conversations and she has to wait for me or I have to wait for her. If I'm sending an email or if I'm on a phone call, or if I'm reading something, an article or whatever, she will wait to share her thought because she understands my attention can only be devoted to one thing at a time. So if my eyes are in a book, it's more than just my eyes being in the book. My mind is in that book. My heart is in that book. My ears are in that book. It's the same thing in the spiritual realm. We cannot say we value progress when we are infatuated with the past. We cannot say that we are looking, we're willing to look forward when really our mindset is looking back. And so if we're looking to the back, that's what pulls us. That's what draws us. And so ultimately, I can't say I'm moving forward if my attention is elsewhere. And let me tell you something. The past does not care about your tomorrow. In fact, the past is suffering from neglect issues, so he wants you, she wants you to come back. To the drink, whatever it is. Your past, come on, Pope, come here. Let me holler at you. Beasley, let me holler at you. Come here. Don't get funny. Don't get funny. And it's not necessarily in our minds. It's people. It's places. It's habits. A post will trigger some of us to go to our past. Come on, let's be real about it. There are specific things that the enemy will put out there or God will allow to happen that are designed to test how bad we want the promise. We say we want what God has for us. But why is our past pulling us so easily? He says, I recognize the past is behind me. And I'm appreciative of what I've been through. It serves a purpose. Yes. See, here's the thing. Ah, thank you, Holy Spirit. We can learn from the past, but not live in it. Amen. We can learn from it. But see, I can learn from things, but it doesn't necessarily get my attention. I live in the past when I see that. Okay, this, I need to revisit this. I need to do this one more time. I need da 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 da. No, you're walking away from purpose. Here's our last thought, and I think this is a thought worth sharing. It ties into all of this, and I need you to put your thinking caps on. The past can imprison us. The past can imprison us. Let me set this up for you. When we say things like, we've been delivered, I don't think we understand the magnitude of that statement. Mm-hmm. The word deliver, in a biblical sense, means that I've been set free.
Yes, it does.
I've been liberated. There are things that I used to do that the Holy Spirit and God, when I was in it, it was miserable. But guess what? He came at some point in time and he unlocked me and I can progress. Mm-hmm. Here's what we do. So that season served a purpose. And when we got out, here's the thing. Well, Lori and I had this conversation a few weeks ago. There are things we are delivered from or set free from. It is our responsibility not to go back.
That's right.
Because when we go back, we're choosing bondage. We're choosing slavery. We're choosing to be bound. God said, I delivered you. So if you go back, you are the one that took the handcuffs and strapped yourself back to a place that I already delivered you from. It ain't the enemy. It ain't your mama. It ain't your daddy. It ain't your spouse. It ain't your kids. We are the ones that say, if I go back, we're choosing to be in slavery and in bondage. That's us. That's us. When God has delivered us or set us free from something and we go back, we say, I choose slavery over liberation. So here's what happens, Mr. Beasley. God does not conform to our tainted ideology or pursuit of purpose. Here's what I mean by that. Because we choose to regress does not mean God will regress with us. So the opportunities, people, places, and things that come our way for the season we're supposed to be in, they were matched where we're supposed to be, not where we are. So when God sends us people in that particular season, it means we're prepared for it. But if we go back into bondage and slavery, I can only make decisions based off of where I am mentally and emotionally. So while physically I'm in the present, if my heart and my mind, my spirit are in the past, I cannot make sound decisions based off of where I am. So God delivered you from certain relationships, from certain people, from certain habits. And so the individuals that come in your present, if your mind is still in the past, you can only make decisions based off of bondage. So you have a slave mindset, even though you are free. And this is why we say things like, you can take the person out the hood, but you can't take the hood out the person. This is why God will send us the right man or woman at the right time, but we still stuck on stuff in the past, the trust issues and all that stuff. And God has made it very clear this person ain't them. Those individuals were preparation for this season. But because we go back, we have a slave mindset. We are still in bondage and we can never find happiness in people. This is why when the promotion comes, we are led by fear and not by faith, and we disqualify ourselves and we say no to a blessing that God prepared us for. We get the house, we get the promotion, but we can't function the way we need to because we are still living in the past, although God has blessed us in our present. And so we are slaves to yesterday. We are in bondage to something that we have been liberated from. And let me tell you a little secret. If you put yourself there, if you went back against the will of God, if you chose slavery over freedom, there are moments and times in our lives where we have to find ourselves. I got to come out of these cuffs. Here's the thing. God will be where his will is. So if the will of God is here and you step out of the will, while God is everywhere, it doesn't mean you're in his presence. I'll say it again. The will of God is here, and the will of God grants me freedom. It grants me peace. It grants me joy. It grants me liberation. It grants me favor. It grants me grace. It grants me mercy. Now, here's the thing. When I step out of his will, Jonah, David, when I step out of his will, I succumb to a different level of attack.
My God.
And when he does intervene, it often is to get me back on track, to get my attention.
Yes.
So the real question is it really even worth? Is it worth going back when you're going to be by yourself?
That's good.
Y'all think God was with David in the room when he slept with Bathsheba? No. He saw it. He didn't approve. Y'all think God approved of Jonah running the other way when he went to the bottom of the ship? No, he saw it. He didn't approve. So he had to do what he needed to do to get Jonah back in place. And here's the thing we need to understand. We waste time living in the past and the present still goes on.
Amen.
Time doesn't wait. We don't just get time. We don't get time on credit. Because we wasted 6 months in the past, it doesn't mean we just get those 6 months back. No, we are literally wasting time. And our expiration date does not change because of our disobedience.
Oh,
if I'm supposed to die March the 8th, 2044, I don't get more time because of my disobedience. God said, I'm here. You're there. While I'm the God of all aspects of time, I need you to understand I don't live in the past. I am. He says, I am. He didn't say I was. I am. He's declaring that I am present. Whatever you need me to be in that moment, not yesterday, whatever you need me to be in that moment, I am that. So I am your comfort. I am your teacher. I am your director. Not I was your teacher. Not I was your director. That suggests he did it yesterday and he probably can't do it today. No, I am that I am.
Yes, Lord.
So if our God lives in the present, why do we find ourselves infatuated with the past?
Yeah.
In fact, we worship the past.
That's right.
Because we shake and we move according to yesterday because our faith is not strong enough to dwell with today and whatever tomorrow is going to bring. So we say, I'm more comfortable, even though it's bondage, I'm more comfortable with yesterday. Egypt. I'm more comfortable with yesterday, even though it's bondage. And God says, you choose slavery over freedom. That's your choice. I sent the Holy Spirit to unlock the key of that situation you were in, be it depression, anxiety, fornication, debauchery, fits of rage. I unlocked the key. I freed you. So when you go back after a rough week of work, no, I gave you peace. You choose not to utilize that peace because you're infatuated with the past. Here's our big idea. We cannot anticipate something we are not preparing for. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I'll explain it to you. If we say we are hopeful for tomorrow, we are waiting for tomorrow, but we're not preparing for it, what's the point? If I'm so concerned about yesterday, I cannot anticipate tomorrow. It's impossible. It has been scientifically proven, research suggests, that for human beings, we cannot multitask. Not effectively. Not effectively. We think we can. But it's been proven scientifically, oh, I'm multitasking, I'm doing this, I'm cooking, I'm on the phone, I'm listening to music, I'm cleaning. No. Something's going to go wrong eventually. I don't care how bad you are as a mother, you could have 15 kids and all this other stuff. Something, multitasking, we're not designed to do that. We're not built that way. God says you press forward or you look back. You can't do both. And if you press forward, you can anticipate some great things. There's going to be some challenges, but you can anticipate growth, development, drawing closer to me, more intimacy with me. But you can anticipate that if you ain't preparing for something you ain't looking at. That's the big idea. And over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about letting go, forgetting about people, forgetting about places, forgetting about ideologies, forgetting about habits. And again, forgetting is not necessarily having out of sight, out of mind. It is neglecting those people, places, things, ideas that contradict the idea of you pressing forward.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Redemption Church of Fort Wayne, Indiana's audio podcast with Pastor Khalid Griffin. Tune in every Monday morning and don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, and share with others. Until next week, stay blessed.